We have three children, and I want to tell you, talk about night and day, and we've got a third one. I don't know where she comes, but boy, she's a fish of another color. But they all needed the rod. Our eldest daughter, Deborah, is a strong-willed girl. I know that you love them. And I must say, Dave was really better at this than I was, to take them in his arms and really just love them, and after he corrected them. I try to remember to do that, you know, dear, you know, with all the other things you've got going on in your mind and things like that. But that she needed to be bent and to have that stubborn will bent to God's will so that she would follow in God's ways and not just do her own thing. Now, son Paul, again, is a very tender-hearted person. Even today, his heart is very tender. He's very compassionate, feels for people easily, can be quite emotional at times. And we had to still use the rod. I mean, I've just told you about him. And very, very, I mean, Deborah would just look at me and say, like, get it over with, you know. But, yeah, I mean, he was tears rolling down his cheeks. But he needed to know that he had to live above those emotions, because I would not be bribed by his emotions at all. So I'd still discipline him. And today, he lives above his emotions. Those emotions are under his control. His emotions don't control him. And so it's just as important for emotional and strong-willed children. And then, of course, we have Ruth, who's coming to join us. Well, she's, like I said, she's a fish of another color. And fortunately, or unfortunately, the boundaries had already been set by the other two. She said, I saw what happened to this. I don't want that to happen to me. She didn't want to get that. But she needed it at times, and she got it as well. So, there you go. For whatever your child's temperament, they need the rod. They need to be disciplined so that they will be a blessing to you and to others. They need to be a creative blessing and help, not a selfish, destructive force. Otherwise, they will be like that when they're older. An old Congo missionary called Willie Burton went to a village to preach the gospel. He spoke to the chief, and the chief said to him, you can speak to the people, but not the children. And while he was speaking to the chief, he was standing next to a sapling, and he was twisting the sapling like this, and he'd made a big knot in the sapling, obviously, because it could be bent at that stage. And when eventually the chief said that Willie Burton could speak to the villagers, but not the children, all the adults, but not the children, he said, all right, I accept what you have said. And he went away, and he moved away from the chief, and the chief began to get his men to unroll the sapling. And Willie Burton said to him, no, I don't want you to do that, because that tree is going to stand there as a testimony against you, because you would not allow the gospel to your young people. That tree still stands in the Congo, all gnarled and twisted, exactly as he did it. It can never now be undone. Because they would not, and that was really a testimony against that village, that the training needs to be done while the sapling is pliable. Once it is set, it is hard to undo all those things. Number six, I fear for the future. And I tell you, we look at the world situation today, and I'm glad I'm not bringing up little children. I tell you, I take my hat off to young people who are raising children today, and a lot of them are doing a wonderful job. But I tell you, the media just blasts you from all sides. It's incredible. But you look at it and you say, I fear for the future. What's going to happen to them if I discipline them? If they're ill-disciplined, they will come to ruin. There's just no doubt about it. They won't be able to control themselves, and that means disaster. In Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. So a man who lacks self-control is defenseless. He's overrun by the enemy. In Proverbs 22, and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not turn from it. We must turn them to God's ways, to fear him, and so that God's protection will be over them. Psalm 34 and verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." And then number 7, the last one. "I don't have the courage or the authority to discipline them." Listen, please. You are so size and your child is this size, you're the boss. For goodness sake. I've actually seen it, that these little people terrorize adults. You as parents must know you do have the authority to discipline your children. I know that there are laws in some countries where they say you're not allowed to hit your children. Well, if you don't want anybody to see, take them into the passageway, for goodness sake, where there's no windows and nobody can see what you're doing. But I'm not saying abuse your children. I'm saying correct them and discipline them. Because in England there was a case of a lady who had disciplined her children, smacked them, given them the rod. I'm not sure if it was with her hand or the rod. But anyway, she was brought up before the court. They heard all the evidence, and the judge passed judgment. And I tell you, I was so glad for this judge. He said, "Well, ladies, you can go. You can go free." He said, "What sort of country are we living in if we cannot smack our own children to discipline them?" I rest my case. You are the boss, not your children. One day they're going to be the boss in their house, and then they can do whatever they like. But you are the boss under God's line of authority, father and mother, as long as you're not usurping authority. But I tell you, if your children are in charge in your home, you're inviting satanic chaos, because they are totally out of order, totally out of God's line of authority, and we need to be aware of that. God bless you as you do it in faith and trust God to give you the good results and the good fruit for your labors.
Now, the whole policy of speaking once with a normal tone of voice and then instituting the correction and or discipline is this: you are training them to obey you first time. Because if you speak once, twice, three times, and then shout the fourth and fifth time, pardon me, work some out, you are training them only to obey on the fifth instance when you shout. You see, when they're ultimately out of your jurisdiction, don't you want them to hear God's voice and obey it first time? Rather than God having to speak again and again and again and again, and then having to shout through the circumstances of disaster that the children, now adults, have brought upon themselves through their ill discipline. That's when it'll hurt you as parents more than if you discipline them.